Okay, let's begin. Today we are going to discuss the letter Lamed. Moving along, the 12th letter of the Aleph Beis. Lamed. Okay, a few ideas. First of all, the letter Lamed is the tallest letter of the Aleph Beis. It is the only letter which comes above the margin. Right? The letter Lamed goes above. You have many letters which go below the margin, the Kuf and the N letters, the Chav Sefis and the Tzadi Sefis, Man Sepach, all those letters go down, except for the Mem but the letter Lamed is the only letter which comes above the letter above the margin, and that is why this is a very interesting halachic idea for something that every sofer knows, that when you write a Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos, you must be extremely careful that when you write the letter Lamed, the top of the Lamed should not enter into the airspace of the letter Resh or the letter Dalet. Because if the top of the Lamed comes within the letter Resh or the letter Dalet above, the letter Dalet or Resh looks like the letter Hey. And it's Pasul. It's mamish pasul. Every letter has not only its black space, it has its territory. And it's very sensitive that no one should invade its ear space.
So can make lines on
it
when you write?
Sirtot. Before you yes.
You
so
can
it's,
see it clearly from the back, you can see it more clearly. But right. In the front, you see it.
And you get an aliyah. Next time you get an aliyah, look. I know, that's what's supposed to. The vav alam is supposed to be slightly slanted. Okay.
Can't go, they shouldn't go.
Okay. Okay, let's discuss a few things. Lamed represents, the Lamed is a very significant letter in that it's the last letter of, everyone knows, it's the last letter of the Sefer Torah, right? It's the last letter of the Sefer Torah. Le'enei kol Yisrael. The fact that it's the last, there's something to being the last. We've discussed Acharon Chav, that's the second to last, but the last is the most chashev. The second to last is Chav, the last the most chashev. I'll tell you a very interesting story, very quickly. I was once in a place, I couldn't believe this happened. I'm sure you've all been to Achnosa Sefer Torah, and it's customary that they, you know, you fill in the last letters of the Sefer Torah. And if you've ever seen it, the sofer very carefully traces. They don't actually write the letters because. So the sofer, the last couple of lines, the last 30 letters, the last 90 letters, whatever it is, he writes the letter, but it's outlined. The letter has been outlined, and the inside of the letter is blank. It's empty. And you mechabit people, they should put a drop of dioy of ink into the blank space to fill up the blank space to fill in the letters. And you mechabit people, and they tell you go to the mikvah and so on and so forth, or you don't do, they don't let you do it, you just watch the sofer, you hold on to the quill and the sofer's hin as he does it, he make him a shliach. Okay, fine. There was once a story where there was the institution. I don't want to reveal the names because it's not for me to reveal the names of the place where this happened. It's a true story. B'didi havi uvda, I saw it with my own eyes. There was an institution where there was a very wealthy individual who decided to give a sefer Torah to this institution. And this person is a very wealthy person. And he commissioned a sofer to write a sefer Torah. It was complete, and he had the sefer Torah. It seemed in his house, and it was a brand new sefer. It wasn't an expensive sefer Torah. It was from the lower end. Sefer Torah today run between, let's say, 20,000 to 80,000. You can probably get a sefer because someone can rip you off for a new sefer to 80,000. That's already way over the limit. A nice sefer Torah today is about $45,000-$50,000. The more expensive ones are 60, a little bit more. You can get a Sefer Torah for $30,000, $35,000. You can get a beginner Sefer Torah for someone who's just starting out for $25,000, $20,000 even. Okay, whatever it is. The klaf itself costs a few thousand dollars. Forget about the time that it takes to write it. So he told the institution, says, oh, do you want to give a Sefer Torah? Very good, very, very happy, of course. We'll take the Sefer Torah, very nice. Oh, we'll make a party, and we'll have a whole ceremony, and we'll write the letters, we'll make a fundraising event out of it. So he says, no, there's nothing to do, it's already done. Everything is complete. The Sefer Torah is already 100% complete. The Sefer already filled in the letters. It's in my house, a beautiful mantle. And I just didn't really decide where I wanted to give it to, but I want to give it to this institution, and come take it. Oh, so we have to at least make a Chnos Sefer Torah. Okay, so we'll march. after mincha, before mincha, we'll make a little march in the street and we'll dance and we'll have a meal and we'll give you a lot of kavod. We'll make nice speeches and give you honor and so on and so forth. Kachava, after davening, after mincha, they had a little rikida. They marched with the Sefer Torah. They took out the other Sefer Torah. They danced, and they made a very nice suda, Divrei Torah, suda smitzvah. Fine, shalom al Yisrael. New Sefer Torah, and the shul leaned from it. This institution leaned from the Sefer Torah for about a year, maybe 2 years. Not every Shabbos, most Shabbos they leaned from the Sefer Torah. Came Parshas Hazinu. The Baal Koreh was reading. And he noticed in the corner of his eye something doesn't look right on the left side. Doesn't look right. He looks, this is after a year and a half. Year and a half. And this is a very chashuv place. There is a distinguished minyan. Talmidei Chacham davening in this minyan. Doesn't look right. Doesn't look right. He looks. Oh, it was never finished. The sofer, as is customary, he finished the Sefer Torah. He has sofer, as soon as going to be a nice party. He outlined the last letters.
You would never know it if you learned for 30 years.
No, you would know because you Simchas Torah.
If you didn't learn the whole thing,
if you didn't learn Simchas Torah, right? What? I know, but Hazinu is already towards the end. It's only one more column. He wasn't learning Vizos Abrach. He was learning because Shabbos Hazinu. I was there. I saw my own eyes. It was Shabbos Hazinu, and they opened up Baruch Hu Es Hashem. You know, you open up the Sefer Torah, and you notice something. Exactly. Like your eyes look up to the women in the gallery, like we discussed. So your eyes went to the side. On the way back, from looking upstairs, you swung around, right? You made a coming for a landing. You were going. You came in for a landing. You swung around. And you saw on the left side. You saw the scimitar. The letters were not.
They were blank.
They were not blank. They were outlined. Next time you go to Achnasa Sefer, look very carefully at what they do. You'll see the outline. What a scandal! What a
kosher then?
Oh well, let's. So what a scandal! What a scandal! What's going to be over here? So they called up the chief rabbi. The chief rabbi said, "Don't call me. I don't know the answer. Call up this person who he knows the answer. He's a very talmid chacham. He's an expert in these matters. Call and ask him the question." He comes up, this person, and he looks it over, and to everyone's surprise, everyone's shock, he passes it's kosher. He says kosher. Why is kosher? There's a concept, ein shi'ur lo'oyvei ha'isiyos. It's outlined. It's missing in the middle. Okay, nu. It's but it's good. He paskins kosher. They make the bracha, they finish laning. Everyone is talking about this. You can imagine what everyone's talking about the Shabbos Suda. Sunday morning, maybe even with Shabbos, that Sefer Torah was is a pretty big place. That Sefer Torah disappeared as fast as your eyes can blink, was taken to the sofer and was completed and was put back into the Aron and never happened, right? It never happened. So I, a shaita that I am, I know the Gabbai Sheni who stands there. I didn't say this is the next day or during the week, and I said to him, I said I saw I was there. I was fascinated because I spent one point in time. I spent a lot of time learning the laws of Hilchas Safras. I even was trying to get Kabbalah at one point in time and did not succeed, but. I was fascinated what happened, and I even knew I was willing to bet that he would pass in kosher because of the reason I knew the psak halacha, but I also know something which I was shocked that the custom is that when you write the sofer writes the letters, being that the halacha is that it's kosher, they deliberately do not connect the top of the lamed to the lower part of the lamed. The lamed has three parts. There's the chaf, right? And then there's there's the vav. Let's say the chaf and the vav. They don't connect the vav to the chaf. They don't make that connection. Why don't they make that connection? Because they're usually mechabe, they honor either the rav or very distinguished person to actually put that dot, and that dot is what really completes the Sefer Torah.
The last
lamed. The last lamed. Because since it's really kosher, the outline is really kosher, so the Sefer Torah is complete. So what's the purpose of this whole show of filling in the dots, of filling in the blank, of filling in the space? It's really kosher. But if the lamed is not connected, oh, it's not kosher. The vav is not connected, it's not kosher. So it's very true. I understand, of course, it goes without saying that it's hollow, okay, but the lamed did the posek who came up to the Sefer Torah to check and issue the psak, did he look very carefully at the letter lamed to make sure the lamed was still connected? Because usually it's the minig of seferim, they don't make that connection, order that the one that gets the last dot makes that connection to make it really kosher. Because the person who came up, he looked very quickly, scanned it, and he passed it kosher, and they went further. So and I asked the person who was standing right there, the Gabbai Sheni. So he got all scared. So he says, I don't know. I'm not going to ask him, I don't know. But I'm going to go ask someone else. So he went and he asked a very big post. I don't want to say the names because I don't know if private matters. So he asked a very, very world famous personality who, I'll tell you the name, you all know who the person is. He told him what happened. He told him the whole story and he told him what I said. He told him the whole story in detail, exactly the way I told it to you. And then he told him what I said to him during the weekday, but what about the lamed? So this posek was a world famous personality who every single day goes to a million, he goes to a dinners and goes all over the place. And he says, you know, I go very often to these events of Achanas Sefer Torah. And in fact, many times they are mechabit him to write the last letter because he's such a famous person. And he says, I have to tell you that I'm right. 99%, he said, 99% of the time, the top of the lamed is not connected to the...
On purpose.
So he... It's interesting, did this Talmud Chacham, who is absolutely correct, a hollow letter, a letter that's hollow in the middle of kosher, did he look carefully at the lamed to notice if this happened to be the 1% chance that the lamed would...
He should have looked.
Not necessarily, a Talmud Chacham, but...
So if he leaves that out...
You know, that's not his thing, he's not into ceremony. The Talmud Chacham is...
He's an expert in every field.
Not everyone's an expert in the ceremony. This is a ceremonial thing. You leave the lamed over. It's not a halachic thing.
So did that in the past?
Maybe yeah, maybe not. So I never found out. But I find this when I learned about the lamed. Okay, the lamed. This is that's a whole different Indian. The katan, that's a very limited. And when you ask a katan,
was good.
That's a yur. That's when you have the only time. Yes, because let's say have a yud and a vav.
Yeah.
Okay, the only difference in the yud and the vav is the vav goes longer. Let's say the yud is a little bit too long. So the question is, does this look like a yud or does it look like a vav? That's where you can ask a child. But if a letter is clearly not kosher according to halacha, there's nothing to discuss. There's no child. The only time you ask a child is when you have a letter you're not sure it's written kahalacha, but it might be off. And the classic example is the yud and the vav. The yud and the vav are identical. The yud goes down a little more. The vav does not need to go down to the very bottom. If it goes down most of the way, it's also kosher. If it goes down too little, it's a yud. So you have a dilemma. Does this look like a yud or does it look like a vav? Then you ask a child. Otherwise,
did it come to scans? Would it pick up that the lamed is not connected?
Yes, not yes and no. The technology is always changing, and many times they purposely turn off. They ignore the really negios when letters touch. It's very common when Seifim write letters touch. Because the ink, when the ink settles, it expands. It expands, and they write very close. So the computer scans it many times. The scan is not perfect, and it picks up negios. So the computer can report that we have over here 400 letters which appear to be connected. So many stuff they just ignore that. There's a person who always looks it over. Besides the computer scan, there's a human being that has to check it over also. So they rely upon the human being for the negios, and they don't even bother looking at the scan because the scan of the computer is done not primarily for misspellings.
Missing words,
anything that's not in the letters. But negios, things that are touching,
the computer goes four, five,
generally they don't bother with that. That's okay. Let's go further. Okay, now let's go to another idea. So the lamed. So I'm running out of time. I want to finish up. So the lamed is the last letter. It's a very significant letter. That it's the last. Acharon choshev. But acharon is choshev. It's the last letter. There's something to it, and we all know that. Being that it's the last letter, and it leads into the hakafa leif. The letter lamed is associated in many places in Chazal with the concept of the heart. Because lamed, why? You know, you just can't take a letter. I can go through a dictionary and tell you every single letter, every whole dictionary of words. Oh, this is the letter, and you can make a drasha. That's ridiculous. Just because the word begins with a letter does not give you the right to extrapolate and make a drasha that this is the essence of the letter. But when you do have significance because of the chazal, then you have more leeway to darshan the significance of a letter. Now, being that the last of the Torah is the letter lamed, and the letter lamed leads into the base, the hakafa. So many in the mafarshim say the lamed does represent the concept of the heart. Rachmana liba boy, Hashem wants a person's heart. In fact, there's a drasha of lamed is lamed mem dalid. It stands for lev maven das. The heart understands knowledge. The heart is the seat of knowledge. There's knowledge and then there is understanding. Understanding is where you internalize something, you have a greater appreciation, a greater depth, and that is the concept of lev maven das. Okay, now the letter lamed refers to learning. Lamed means lamot. That's solid. Lamed mem. How do you spell lamed? Lamed mem dalet. Lamot, to learn. Limot means to learn and to teach. Lamed. Lilmod ulalamed. Lilmod ulalamed. Now, to prove this, there's a very beautiful word from the Gra to prove that the Vilna Gaon that actually proves this. Not proves it, but he says a beautiful drush that brings out the concept that the lamed represents limud. In Koheles, there is the Shira of the Etim. Ace laledes for ace lamus, ace lintoya, ace lakonatua, ace lyricoid, ace all these different things. There are 28 of them. They all begin with a lamed. There are only two of the 28 that are missing a lamed. Ace rikod, the ace sifod. A time to dance and a time to eulogize. So the Vilna Gaon asks, why is it that all the 28 itim in Koheles are these the only two that are missing the letter lamed? So he says, Meferishu Gemara. The Gemara says there's nothing in the world that's more choshev than Talmud Torah, Gesundheit, than learning Torah. Talmud Torah, Limut, Lamed is to learn Torah. But there are two times when you are mechuyev to mevatel from learning Torah. Hachnosas Kala and Levoyas Hanes. Gemara. For marriage, you have to go. That's why you find like, all the Rosh Shivas are running around to go to weddings. Achnosas Kala. Sorry that it's also a fundraising event. But Achnosas Kala ulevoya sames mevatlin Torah. Vachnosas Kala ulevoya sames mimela. That's why by Rikod and Sifod, there's no Lamed. Because Lamed Memdad, Limud. There's no limud when it comes to rikod and when it comes to sifot. Another proof, another idea that demonstrates the concept that lamed represents learning is the large lamed. There's a large lamed, there are different traditions. Vayashlichem be'eretz acheres. It's in the toichacha. In the toichacha, in the kisavo, I forget where is Vayashlichem.
Vayashlichem
is in Nitzav. It's in Nitzav. Vayashlichem le'eretz acheres. It's a pasuk of Tzach. Not in the toichacha mamish, but in Nitzav. Vayashlichem is a very large lamed in the word Vayashlichem, which is part of a pasuk, which is Hashem is going to take the Jewish people and throw them into Golas. Vayashlichem in an eretz acheres into exile. The lamed is large. It's larger than the other lamed. So the question is, why is that so? Why is the Messiah that the lamed should be large? So the answer is the same answer. Lamed represents to learn. Hashem is telling us, I'm sending you to Golis not as a punishment. As punishment, I mean, you can't say not as a punishment, but it's an instructive punishment. There's something you're going to learn in Golis. You're going to go into Golis. It's going to be an opportunity to learn about the ways of Hashem. It's not just get lost, get out of here. It's an instructive punishment. There's a limud. There's a lesson to be learned in Golis. That's why the lamed of Vayashlichem is a massively large lamed. Don't make a mistake and think that Hashem is just rejecting us. He doesn't care about us. Adarab, Hashem cares about us more than anything, and He wants us to learn from our mistakes. And the galus is a process, is a learning process. Okay, now let's go to another idea. Now this is a very deep idea. Now, by the way, learning, we say it means to learn. Learning, there's an expression, Adam Nivra La'amal Peh. It's a Gemara. A person was created La'amal Peh. La'amal, the Mepharshim say, is Rosh Tevos Lilmoid Al-Menas L'Lamed. To learn Al-Menas L'Lamed. Also going further with the idea of Leif. L'Lamed represents Leif because the last L'Lamed in the Torah is a L'Lamed, which goes into the letter base. So someone told me a joke last week that Tu B'Shvat, when is Tu B'Shvat? If Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, it's a joke. If Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, so Shabbos is one Shvat.
Like that,
right? So Sunday is the second day of Shvat. So Tu B'Shvat is Sunday. It's a joke. Tu B'Shvat is the 15th day. Tu B'Shvat, Tesvav. Tesvav B'Shvat. Two, it's a children's joke. One is Tu B'Shvat. Two, the number two. Okay, it's a joke. But it's not really a joke. Why is it not really a joke? Because we have this concept called lev, the heart. The heart, what is the heart? I mean, so lev, lamed, the letter lamed is lev maven das. The heart understands knowledge. Lamed beis is also interpreted. I think this is a Kabbalistic stuff. I saw this in the Lubavitcher Sefer. Kabbalism. Lamed beis is the lamed multiplied by two. Lamed beis. Like Tu B'Shvat, Lamed, a double Lamed. What's a double Lamed? There's no such thing as just of Lamed. Lamed means to learn, Lamod. There has to be a double learning. Lilmod, Al-Manas, L'Lamed. The reason why Lamed is associated with learning and is also associated with Beis is to tell all of these three ideas come together. The heart, Lev Maven Das. The heart is the seat of knowledge. The Das, knowledge, only comes when you learn to the degree where you're able to give it over. There are different types of learning. Everyone knows that when you prepare to give a share, a whole different type of learning. You have to give it over. If you have to give it over, you have to give a course in college, you gotta say something, you gotta teach to students, you gotta know it. This is not just time reading the newspaper. You have to really know it. That's knowledge. When you learn La'am al Pe, Lilmod al Manas Lilame, that's true knowledge. That's what Lev is. The heart understands. When does the heart understand? When it's Lamed base. It's Lamed twice. Two different types of Lamed. Lilmod al Manas Lilamed. To learn, Almanas, to teach. Lev Maven Das. So that's a very interesting idea. The two Lamets come together. Even the Chalk. Now, I don't know what this means. I don't understand what this means. That Kalpi Kabbalah, this is really way out Kabbalah, which I don't understand. I think from the Lubavitcher, one of the Lubavitcher Rebbes, is that what's Lamed Beis? The heart looks like two Lamets. The second Lamet is inverted. You have a Lamet, and then take a second Lamet and flip it. Flip it inside out, so it's like a containment. That's the shape of the heart. We have a shape of the heart. You know, I love New York. Oh, I love New York. It's a more precise shape of the heart. Is take a second lamed, invert it, and turn it, and you put them together. The double lamed, lamed beis, lilmoid almanas lamed lev maven das. Person was created. Adam nivra la'amol peh was created. La'amol is lilmoid al minas talan. Okay, now I want to come to a very deep idea. Now this is the main idea I want to bring out, and this is deep. It's very deep, and very powerful. The concept of lamed represents malchus, a king, sovereignty. The Malchus of Hashem, the Malchus, Malchusa, the Arak, and Malchus, the Rekia. Where does that come from? First of all, Lamed is the only letter that goes all the way up. A Melech has to be elevated, has to be distinct, unique, taller. Balkoima, that's the Balkoima, but a Melech has to stand out as being special and unique. From all the letters of the alphabet, the letter that stands out more than them all, of course, is the Lamed. It's the only letter which comes up above everyone else. That is a tafkid of a Melech. Now, the numerical value of the Lamed is 30, right? Lamed is 30. How old was David when he became king?
30.
How old was Yosef when he became the viceroy? 30. You see, So not only is lamed represent the concept, but also age-wise, that's the tkufa. How many kings were there? Never let a little time step. How many days are there in a month?
30.
Well, right, 29 and 30. Let's say 30. What do we do? What is the levana related to? The levana is the way it represents kabbalas mekabel pnei hashchina. It's when we count, when we recite kiddush levana. What do we say? David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. Why do we focus on David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam? Because it's Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina, and Malchusa De'ara, the Malchus sovereignty in this world, resembles the Malchus of Shaman. The reason why we need to have a Melech in this world is that through having a king on this world, we can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus and Shemayim. When we go through cycles of 30-day cycles coming through the year, I don't know how this works, but it's 30. It's a form of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. When we go through the year is divided into 12 parts, and each part is 30 days, and that renewal is a renewal that relates to being Mekabel Hashem, who is the Melech of the entire world. And we even express this in the Nusach HaTfilah of David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam at the time when we go out to be Mekabel the new Levana. How many kings were there from the Jewish people from the beginning? How many generations? There were 30 generations from the time of Avraham Avinu until the last of the major kings of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu died 22 years before the Korban. After discuss the significance of why he was considered to a very large degree as the last king. We focus on him very much on Tisha B'Av. Vayikoinin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. After he died, that was it. The Churban was really meant to happen at that moment in time. There was a stay for 22 years because they properly eulogized for him. But the Churban was really meant to happen when he died. There are exactly 30 generations from the time of Avraham Avinu, which to a certain degree represents the first Melech of Klal Yisrael, until Yoshiyahu, which was the end of Malchus of Klal Yisrael. 30 generations. David was number 14, and Shlomo was number 15. The Mispar Katan of Shlomo, Shin is 3, Lamed is 3, Mem is 4, Hey, those numbers add up to 15. Shlomo was the apex, that was the greatest Kufin Klal Yisrael. The first was Avraham. The last, the Gemar, was Yoshiyahu. That was the end. That was like when the moon waned. The moon began to wax. The moon, the cycle of the moon represents Malchus. And there are in fact 30 different generations which take us from the beginning to the end, representing this idea of Malchus. Now which tefillah do we have? Which tefillah do we have? All the tefillahs that focuses the most on Malchus. Aleinu. And the proof is on Rosh Hashanah, we actually recite the whole Aleinu in the Nusach HaTfilah, and Rosh Hashanah is a day of Malchus. We blow shofar, it's Malchus. This is an amazing idea. How many lamins are there in Aleinu? I didn't count, so you have to have faith that this is true. What?
Each paragraph, the first or
both? Both together. When you say both together, you say both in Rosh Hashanah. Okay, in the Kavalukah. How many lamins are there?
Say 30.
No. 74. Okay, a homework assignment. Count the lamids in Aleinu. There are supposedly exactly 74 lamids in Aleinu. What's the significance? Because the gematria of lamid mem dalid is 74. And lamid represents Malchus. Lamid is Malchus. Aleinu is Malchus. So we emphasize, we overemphasize, we go out of our way to in the Aleinu, in the tefillah, which is all about lifnei Melech Malchei Hamlochim Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the tefillah of Malchus, which is the most prominent letter, the letter Lamed, because the letter Lamed, everything about the letter Lamed is all about Malchus. It's the tallest letter. Everything we've discussed, therefore, it gets prominence. Its number, Lamed Mem Dalet 74, is how many times the letter will appear in the Nusach of Aleinu. Isn't that an incredible idea? I hope it's true, though. I didn't get it. You have to go look. So Ein Chacham, you have to check out how that all works out. Now, another fascinating idea to prove this idea. Where did the Jewish people ask for a melech? This is a very dark part of our history. In Shmuel, Perek Ches, where they complain, we want a melech. And Shmuel was very hurt. You want a melech? What's it all about? And there's a lot to discuss. We once spent time on this on a Friday. We once spoke about this. That didn't have a melech. They wanted a melech. What's going on about it? So he goes and says, you want a melech? Do you know what a melech's going to do to you? He's going to take away your children. He's going to take away your fields. He's going to tax you. He goes on to give a whole long list. And they say, yeah, we still want a melech. Okay, you want a melech? Shol. That begins the whole Sefer Shmuel. Shol, David, Kohen v'Kohen, so on and so forth. When Shmuel gives the Jewish people powerful rebuke, you want a melech? Do you know what he's going to do to you? This is an incredible idea. Count very carefully all of the things that he says what the melech is going to do. There are exactly 30 things that a melech will do to the Jewish people. You go to the psukim, he's going to take away your children. He's going to appoint them as officers, sorry Allah, from sorry males. And he's going to take away your vineyard and your fields. You have to go to the psukim very carefully, and you will discover Shmuel told Klal Yisrael, the king will do exactly 30 things. Again, you see this idea, the number Lamed represents this idea of Malchus. Okay, now let me just, I got all the things with okay, now let's go to another idea. In today's daf, you know, by the way, today's daf kuf dalid in Shabbos, and today is the day of the Aleph Beis. This is the daf that children have come to the Beis Medrash, have told us things that we have not heard from times of Yeshua ben Nun. Aleph Bina, Aloy Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina Gimel Dalim Hevav. Today is Mamish, the day of the Aleph Beis. So on the daf, and there the Gemara mentions what is the letter Lamed. So the letter Lamed is the last of a long series. We'll review the whole series. Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina, Beis, Aleph Bina, Gimel Dal, Hevav, Zeh, Shmoy, Shelach, Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Gemara goes on to say that if you'll do this, if you'll be kind, you'll be gracious, you will be kind to the poor, and you will learn Torah, then Hashem, Chof, Hevav, Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yud, Lamed. Hashem will give you parnasa. He'll reward you by being chon, will be gracious to you. Tes native loch. Yud, he'll give you a Yerusha. Chof, he'll be kosher, a keser, a crown. And then comes lamed. He'll tie you a crown. It goes together with the chof. Kosher l'cha keser le olam haba. Now that's very bizarre. Because the lamed is only being used as a prefix. Le'olam haba. You would think that you take a letter where the letter actually defines the essence of the letter represents the essence of the word. But that's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says that the lamed represents the content that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give a person a reward, tie a crown. Le'olam haba. It represents olam haba, the next world, but it doesn't represent olam haba itself. It represents two olam haba. Which is a very interesting idea, because that tells it, opens up a whole new understanding of what the Laman is about. And the one Laman is Olam Haba, but the truth is, we have no Hasaga in this world what Olam Haba is. It is beyond our comprehension, our ability to understand. The only thing that we can relate is, we're going in that direction. Le Olam Haba. And in fact, what is the Lamed? The Lamed is pointing upwards. It's a letter which points upwards, going directed. So, on the one hand, we recognize we have no concept. That's the Lamed. We have no concept what Olam Haba is. But it represents the direction we want to go. We want to be Mekayim in the Torah Mitzvos, so that we go in the direction to come to the reward of Olam Haba. Okay, now, what is the letter Lamed itself? There are two different opinions of what the letter Lamed, what it's made of. And some in the Farshim describe a Lamed as a letter Chof and a Vav on top. So that would be a numerical equivalent of 26. Very nice, Hashem's name. And it fits. Lo'olam haba, all of these mystical concepts, Melech, Hashem is the ultimate Melech, Malchei Amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But other Farshim translates say that, no, that's not what the Lamed is. The Lamed is the letter Chof, Vav, and a Yud. It's not just a Chof and a Vav, it's there's a Vav, and then the very top, you have to give the top significance, which is a Yud. Now, if that would be the case, that would be the case, that would mean that the letter Lamed has a numerical value of
36.
Of 36. 36, what?
Lamed
Vav. Oh, in the Lamed, that's exactly the point, that it represents the concept of 36. But the gematria of the letter Lamed is what? 30. So how do we understand, on the one hand, the way the letter Lamed, the form is 36, but the letter, the Lamed itself has a numerical value of 30. So the truth is, there's a well-known machloikis, Bavli and Yerushalmi, in the merit of how many tzaddikim does the world continue to exist. So most of us know the Bavli. We learned this in Yeshaya, Ashrei Choychei Lo. Fortunate are the people who yearn low for Hashem. And what does the Gemara in the Gemara in Sanhedrin say? Low is the Gematria Lamed Vav. That the world exists in the merit of the 36th Tzaddik, one of the Lamed Vavniks. Right? That's what they said. Lama, Lama, Lama. That's the Gemara Bavli. Ashrei Kol Choychei Lo. Lo, the Gemara says 36, the 36th Tzaddik, in the merit of the world exists. Problem is a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has a different drasha. Hashem said to Avram Avinu, Ko yihyeh zaracha. So shall be your seed, your children. You will always have children that are just like you, that are tzaddikim gemurim. The Gemara is, this is a Yerushalmi. I'm making some, it's not a chasid shavart. This is a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, yihyeh is bigamatria 30. There will always be 30 tzaddikim in whose merit the world will continue to exist. So the machloek is Yerushalmi in the Bavli. Is it the merit of 30 tzaddikim, or is it the merit of 36 tzaddikim? So the truth is, the letter Lamed has both. The letter Lamed on the one represents Olam Haba, Lo Olam Haba, that the world is going to continue to exist because it's going to achieve the function that it will bring people. You come into this world, it's the coming into this world is all for the purpose, is a gateway, antechamber to come lo olam haba in the merit of who? Well, on the one hand, the lamed is the numerical value of 30. On the other hand, the way the lamed is the form is 20, vav 6, yud is 36. So you have really in the letter lamed both of these ideas. And by the way, the Gemara has a discussion about a creature called a koi, or some pronounce it as a kvi. A kvi and a koi, different ways of pronouncing it. Kvi, koi. What's the kadi spell of kvi? Chaf vav yud. What's the letter lamed? Chaf vav yud. What does the Gemara say about a kvi? It's a bria bifnei atzma. It's not a behema, not a chaya. It's its own madrig, its own min. And that's really the letter lamed. The letter lamed stands out above the other letters. The letter lamed is the kvi. Or the koi, it's a bria bifnei atzma, it's in a category all by itself. The letter, the word li, the yisim li tzegula is explained in Mefarshim to represent the marriage between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Because there's no letter that's greater than the lamed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate, that's lamed is Hashem, lo'olam haba, and the yud is the smallest letter. Ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim. Li, the yisim li tzegula. Hashem married Klal Yisrael with the word li. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the lamed, we are the yud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the synthesis of the lamed and the yud, is the idea of Li. Someone said that Yisrael, the first letter of Yisrael is Yud, the last letter is Lamed, so again you have that in the word Yisrael, you have this concept of Li. Okay, then once we spoke about Lev, one thing I left out about Lev, the heart, the Lamed represents the heart because the Lamed, the last letter leads into the base. Being in the Torah, Lev, Lev, Lamed is Das, Lev, Maven, Das, is that one of the letters that come before the letter Lamed is the letter. The letter before the Lamed is the letter Chaf. What comes before the Bay is the Aleph. What comes after Lamed? Mem. What comes after Bay's? Gimel. So the letters before Lamed are Ach. The letters after Lev, the letters before Lev are Ach. Aleph and Chaf. The letters that come after the word Lev are Gam. Ach is always a Miut. Ach. Hold back. V'yishoyer ach Noach. Only Noach. No one else but Noach. Just Noach. Ga means also. So what's the significance? The significance is the heart understands. The heart, the lev understands knowledge. Lev maven deya. Echad hamarbe v'echad hamamet. Uvilvad sheyischavein liboy lashamayim. The heart understands, but the heart has to have intent and his understanding, his knowledge all be l'shem shamayim, whether it's ach or whether it's skam, whether it's lev kasil, lev chacham liyamin, lev kasil is small, lev chacham liyamin. The heart of the chacham is to the right. What's to the right? Ach. The wise always says, I'm a nothing, I'm an ach. So my monk says this in the Sefer, in the Aleph Beis, the wisdom of the Aleph Beis. Ach, leif kisil, the heart of the fool is l'smol, gam, more, more, more. I always want more. Esav said, yesh li rov. Yaakov said, yesh li koil. I have everything that I need. Esav said, I have more than I need. Gam, I have more than I need. You know the joke. The joke is, Esav said, my own rabbi, yesh li rov. But this is the difference between Lev Kasil, Lev Kasil, Liamin, Lev Chacham, Lev Kasil is small, he always wants more, and the Chacham is Liamin, he always has sufficient. Okay, pretty now, there's one just one more. There's a lot of Jewish, they say this for children of Lamed Mem. What are the two letters go together? There's Lamed, and then comes the Mem. What does that signify? Lamod Mem. When you learn something, you're supposed to review it 40 times. Did you ever hear this before? Lamed Mem. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim for 40 days. And that's Merumos in the two letters that come next to each other. You must say, Achimos Kedoshim. Achimos Kedoshim. Emor. Achimos Kedoshim. After the person dies, all of a sudden becomes the greatest tzaddik. Achim. So yeah, Lamed Mem. It's another expression. Lamod Mem. Learn something 40 times until you know it. Then they have another Jewish, Lamed Mem Mem Nun. There are two Mems. There's the Mem, the opening Mem, and the closing Mem. So Lamed Mem Mem Nun, which means Lamod Mipi Melamed Ne'emon. Im Doim Ramcha L'malach Hashem Tzavokos Yivak Shutar Mipiyuv. Im Lav Al Yivak Shutar Mipiyuv. You have a Rebbe. This is a very big principle. What is the essence? So this is a very big debate. I mean, not debate. What kind of Rebbe should children study? And sometimes you have a choice between a Talmud Chacham, a Yari Shemayim, but he's not the best Rebbe. He's not the best Rebbe. Not talking about Chas Hashem, people that do terrible affairs. We're talking about he just doesn't got. And then you have someone who's a PhD. He's mama. He has the best degrees, but he's not a Yerush Shemayim. You know, he's a good teacher. He's a good teacher. He has all the degrees, but he has a background. He on Shabbos he's not exactly on Shabbos sitting in the Beis Medrash. Okay, Shabbos he's not even Shomer Shabbos. He's borderline Shomer Shabbos. But he knows how to teach, and he has all of the degrees and everything he possibly can need. On the other hand, you have a Rebbe who's a real Yari Shemayim. He's not a terrible teacher. No. He's not going to ruin your kids, Chas Shalom, and he's not going to do Averos. He's just not as good.
He may turn your child off.
Oh, no, that's not, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about turning your child off. He's average. He's average.
He can't put it across to the children.
You can't generalize. You can't, in those two cases when you can generalize. You're right, you can't generalize. So there's this concept of Lamed Mem Mem Nun. Okay, again, remember, you can't generalize. Every case is different. Lamod Mipi, Lamod Min Melamed Ne'eman. A Melamed that is Nem that has strength. And this is illustrated in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Doeg and Achitofel, two of David's contemporaries who caused them great tsar, great enemies of David, they were tremendous Talmidei Chachamim. They knew Kol HaTorah Kulo like no one else. And the Gemara there says they were able to ask 400 questions concerning the Migdol HaPareach Ba'avir, the Dreamliner. So now in the news, the Dreamliner, all of the problems, the Dreamliner. 400 halachic shilas. What do you do with a migdol hapareach ba'avir? If you're on a plane, of all 400 very complicated shilas, degnachi teufel, and they couldn't come to a resolution. So Chazal want to learn into this, that what does it mean a migdol hapareach ba'avir? What? It's the lamed. that 400 shilas concerning the letter Lamed, because the letter Lamed is Parech, it's crown goes all the way up and above the margin, but they couldn't reach a resolution. You know why? Because they had no Yerushalayim. In order to be zoicha to asuke shmeitza aliba de hilchasa, that it should not be, you need the heart needs more Hashem Elokecha shomeimach kim li yire oisai. There has to be Yerushalayim. Lamed mem nun, two mems. Lamod mipi Milamed Ne'eman, to be zeicher for the lamed, the migdal haparech, the avir, lasuke shmeitz, alib, the hilchasa, there has to be yira Hashem. So I think I got everything, let's make sure. Oh, there's one, this is a very beautiful idea. The one more idea. That we find the word lamed in Sefer Shoftim. A milamed, a bokar. Okay, it's used there, milamed, I think it's with the mem, milamed, bokar, it's used in reference to an axe goad. Axe goad is a stick that has spikes, and when you want to move the animal, go over there, move over there, prod, it gets it going, goads it. So a milamed bokar, the lamed is used in Tanakh as an axe goat. Today they use electronic goats. They you want to get the animal to move, you press the button, you have a little stick, and you press the button and it gives an electric shock.
Laser.
Electric shock and gets it going. Ancient times before electric shocks, they had spikes. So what is the significance? The ultimate learning, a person is a behemoth. The ultimate behemoth is an axe. A person is a behemoth. A person has animalistic drives, tivus. What is the tafkid of man in this world? To control his tivus. To use your knowledge, to study Torah, to use your knowledge, to realize, you know, I gotta do something about this. I have to control myself and don't destroy the world. And restrain myself. That's what knowledge is all about. Nilamed Bokar, Lamed in Tanakh is used as an axe goad. You have to take all the knowledge, all of the limud, everything that comes into your mind, and use it to direct your animalistic, your impulses, your base impulses, to guide it in the proper direction, to be used for positive forces, not chas v'shalom for negative forces. Okay, let me just make sure I got everything about the Lamed. Another thing, this is just in the Haggadah, there's a piyot, Adir who, Borer who, I'm not a big Python, I'm not into, what? Even the base of Bukhara. So how does it go? You know it by heart? Adir who? Okay, what's the base?
Base is Bochor.
Bochor, okay. Bochor. Gimel.
I think Robert.
God, okay. You know this very well. And when you get to Lamed, what is Hashem? One of the descriptions, Limutu. Hashem is a Melumet. Hashem is a Melumet. He's a Talmud Chacham. So the Chassam Sofer says, this is, we wouldn't believe this. Everyone, the whole Klal Yisrael says this piyut. I mean, I hope I say it. But you say this piyut, and the Chassam Sofer is apikursus to say this. He says this. To say limudhu, nowhere in Chazal do we have anywhere a reference to the Kaddish Baruch Hu is called a limud. Hashem has Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Yudkei, Vavkei, Kel. We have different names, same as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a medrash that lists 70 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you can't invent your own names. All the names listed there in the piyot are valid. They're all mentioned. But this limud, he says there's no makar for it. And therefore, Lamed is Hashem. We discussed that Lamed represents Malchus, but to say that one of Hashem's name is Lamed, limud, in this piyut, he does not know where it comes from. In his opinion, it's apikorsis, and you should say Hashem is loichem hu. The name is loichem. It's a mistake because Hashem ish milchama. Next week's parsha, Hashem shemo, Hashem loichem hu, not limud hu. So that is Tilton Maxwell House.
No,
and
a lot of others have the same letters, words for the letters.
Okay, just going back to one thing I forgot to tell you about, that it represents Malchus. I left this out by mistake. Is that Yehuda is the shevet from which Malchus lo yaseh shev mi Yehuda mi chayim raglav? What is the gematria of Yehuda? 30. So another raya, the letter lamed, is associated with the idea of malchus. Okay, I think we pretty much got everything. We say 8 lameds. So let's leave more that we say every day. We talk about learning. Lamed represents learning. Right, we learn. The same Lubainu Lahovin, Ulahaskil, Lishmoya, Ulumoid, Ulamed, Lishmar, Vilasos, Ulikayim. 8 lamets. 8 lamets, Lamaila Mederchatev. You need to zecha to learning, you need special siyata deshmaya. That's Limala. Limala Mederchatev. Okay, have a wonderful day. Take care.
74 without the tossing.
You checked it? You checked it?
I went through it in my head.
Wow.
It's 74.
Without Shem Shtachavim.
Without the...
Shem Shtachavim. Lehevel Varek.
Shem Shtachavim. Lehevel Varek. It comes out to 79 with that
pasuk. When a child is...
That's a raya, and I have to say that pasuk.
Look, when a child...
That's a raya, that's very...